perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. This is Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to have you joining us no matter where you're listening from. I always want to give a shout-out to our newest listeners out there in Cleveland, Ohio, and Akron, Ohio, on Living Bread Radio. Welcome to the Young Catholics Respond show, and we always love when you reach out to us on our website, patchworkheart.org, or on our many different social media, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Reach out to us and say hello and let us know how we're doing, or if you want to hear a particular guest or a particular topic on our show, we would love to hear from you. Of course, we've got Patreon and all those other fun things, the ways you can support our nonprofit mission to sow hope into broken hearts, but I don't want to waste too much time talking about ourselves because that's really no fun. I want to bring on my guest for today. His name is Taylor Scroll, and he is a Catholic husband, father, to three precious babies, missionary, youth minister, worship leader, speaker, radio and podcast host. He's an avid gamer, and he is just an amazing man. He has a beautiful website called The Forte, ForteCatholic.com. Taylor, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here today and talking with me on Young Catholics Respond.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. It's great to be back on the show, and I love when conversations, when somebody says, you know what, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. I love when it's about me. This is fantastic.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to broach a subject today with you, man to man. And, you know, I recently got married. Again, it's not about me.
Congratulations. But it is about you if you just got married.
but the one thing I haven't done is I haven't had a conversation about marriage on this show. I've kind of skirted around it with some different books and things like that and broached family topics. But when it comes to marriage and the sacrament of it, I've never really delved into it. I was like, you know, I just got married. It's kind of a perfect time maybe to talk about marriage on the show. And who better to talk about marriage than with you and that full beard that I'm seeing over Skype?
I could think of hundreds of better people, but you got me. So we're all stuck here.
Yeah, right. We're stuck here for the next half hour. Well, let's talk about it. So I just to start off, you know, guys and marriage, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about just the practicality of it. So, you know, as a dude, I think we maybe put a lot into the beginning of the marriage process, and we're always worried about that proposal moment, right? That big proposal moment. But it's a lifetime after that. So can you just maybe talk to us and share a little bit about the practicalities of what that looks like for a guy considering marriage?
You're talking about like for the proposal or the longevity of it?
Yeah, I think the longevity beyond the proposal. Just like, okay, sure. What is that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've been married for over 7 years now, which isn't all that long of a time. But it's interesting, like we've already had sort of like three stages in our marriage. We had the time where it was just the two of us. So like, you know, dating, engaged, married. And then we actually had our first child right about a year in, so we conceived pretty quickly. And so we had that first, the dating engagement in that first year of marriage where it was just the two of us building our relationship, loving each other, like focused completely on each other, which is like the situation that you're in now. It's fantastic. You just get to focus on each other and then do your work, but you come home and it's always the two of you. And then you have that first baby and literally everything changes. So like, it's like you built up the relationship through that first season, and then that first baby comes, and man, the shift for both of you, especially for those first few months, even to that first year, the shift becomes, naturally or not, like I heard a lot in marriage prep, it's like, you know, the relationship between the husband and the wife is always the most important, no matter what, with kids or work or whatever. But that gets very difficult whenever you have your first kid, and so you have to kind of learn to love each other, to spend time together, even when there's a baby crying and you're both exhausted. And it becomes a different type of love or a different expression of that same love. And then, you know, like the third season was now we have three kids And it is lots of time, lots of work, you know, balancing as a man, provide as myself, the primary breadwinner, spending time with the family, spending time at work to support that family, and then hopefully being able to spend time with the wife. You know, it's this balance of divide and conquer with the kids, and still we do need to protect our time together. It's just very different from when you first get married.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because I think one of the big worries, and you mentioned in there, is providing for a family, right? Providing for a family. Do you think a lot of guys worry about that in today's society? I mean, I know that I worry about it as just a husband with no kids yet. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, as kids roll in and all of that happens, my gosh, what's going to happen to finances and keeping all that stuff straight? And the guy being the head, or at least the church saying the guy being the head and the one being the heart of the family, and melding these two things together. How do you stay sane in that environment?
Yeah. So like working in youth ministry, I've been in youth ministry the whole time that we've been married. She knew I was in youth ministry when we got married. So the financial discussion is actually pretty interesting because like when we first started, like we were flat out broke. Like I was barely able to provide for just the two of us. And then we had a kid, and then I got a little bit more money, but I was still barely able to provide for the three of us, because now there was three of us to pay for. And then over the years, just kind of as things have grown, I think that's a lot of people's experience when they first get married. Money is very tight. And now we're at a place where like we're doing okay. You know, where we're able to, money isn't as big of a stressor, but I think no matter what, it's still a thing that's constantly on my mind, because I think no matter what, whether people are making youth ministry money or they're an oil tycoon and they're making a ton of money, there's always a balance between your lifestyle as a family and the money you come in. And I think a lot of times they rise to meet each other, right? So one of the biggest things that I've learned through that is just personally and as my wife and I, we've just learned that the Lord always provides. Like, as long as we're being faithful and being hardworking, like combining those two things, the Lord always provides. And then the second thing is that there are always seasons for these types of things. There have been seasons in our marriage where we're kind of okay financially and we are able to spend more time together. There are other seasons, and both of us have had to communicate about this and kind of see it as a season to get through them, where it is like, I'm going to be gone more because I need to go work more to make more money, and to sacrifice for me because I have to work more, to sacrifice for her because we get less time together, to sacrifice for her because I'm there to help with the kids a little less for those seasons. Now that's unhealthy if it goes on for too long, but it's that real life, that balancing act between work life, supporting the family, and loving the family. Sometimes you love them while you're there. Sometimes you have to love them from being away. And if you do either one of those too much, you're probably not doing something right. So it's always a balance, and it's going to shift its focus, but it's always just communication between you and your spouse to make sure that everything's still good.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Balancing things and communication, that's probably another one really big issue I think about too, is the communication aspect of marriage. You know, it's definitely changed. I've gone out the other night. I was out speaking at a Life in the Spirit seminar for the Archdiocese in Milwaukee's Charismatic Renewal, and I made the off comment that, you know, there's this communication aspect of marriage where when you're moving from one, you know, place to another to join your lives together, your future wife throws out all of your Halloween costumes that you would use in youth ministry for kids to torture them at 5:30 in the morning. And there's this communication aspect, like, okay, do I really need this? Am I going to be continuing to dance around in a Power Ranger costume at 5:30 in the morning and annoy the tar out of my spouse, or am I not? And, you know, so as you kind of balance those different seasons, I liked how you mentioned seasons of life in there, because, you know, do you find yourself ever going back to certain seasons, you know, or is it always constantly evolving and always constantly moving forward?
No, I think it does go back and forth. At least that's been my experience, like especially over the last like 4 or 5 years where I've been in the job that I am in now. There have been these seasons where money's good, money's not good. There have been seasons where work is busy, work is not busy. And like, actually right now I'm in one of those busy seasons, but it's this balance of like, oh, like just practically, okay, I'm going to be working more. I have these opportunities that will bring in more finances that will help us to not only provide for the family now, but pay off loans, pay off student debt, pay off these types of things. And we know that the season is going to end. Like, we know that this business, essentially I'm doing my job and stepping in to cover for somebody else because this position wasn't hired. So things are very busy, but I'm also making a lot more money than I usually do. And so we've been able to have that conversation and do that. And we've gone back and forth with that. There was a season from like October until August that I was the most relaxed in my schedule that I've ever been. I got to spend a huge chunk of time with the family, got to work a lot from home. Now that season has kind of changed, but it will come back. Like, we're planning on it coming back probably around January. And it's just one of those things that, like, whenever these big decisions are being made, the two of us talk about it. And for the most part, we're both like, this is what makes the most sense. We'll get through this season. We will still enjoy this season, and then the next one will come and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, and that's beautiful. It's always being adaptable, I think. I think people want to, be adaptable. For young guys out there that are, you know, considering marriage, and you've maybe got the steady girlfriend, and, you know, and you're thinking about popping the question and all of that stuff. When you start thinking about that, you know, think about the ways that you as a man have to adapt and begin to change a little bit, be willing to change, right? There has to be a willingness to live for the other person and put that other person before you. And that's a serious contemplation, right? Like, you have to really think about that for a serious amount of time before you just rush into getting married. You know, you really have to pray about that, right? Is there a prayer process that goes into that pre, you know, prep of marriage for a guy, or should there be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, so there's this time, and again, a very different season in my life when I was single, but we were engaged, and I had more time than I ever had in my entire life. Like, that year of prep, like, well, I guess the 2 years, the year before I knew I was going to pop the question, and then the year after when we were preparing for marriage, that might be the most intensive time of prayer I've ever had in my entire life, because big things are happening, and it's usually easier to pray whenever big things are happening. But two, it's like, that was a season where I, like, we were long distance, so she wasn't around. Like, she was literally in a whole nother state, so I had a lot more time, and that was I really enjoyed that season of like intense preparation, both for myself, just kind of as a man, growing in my relationship with God, but also praying for her, praying for all the things that were coming up with the preparations for the wedding, both practical, spiritual, relational, like all of those things that are coming up. And I have learned now that since I'm married and I have kids and a couple of full-time jobs, that season will not be one that is coming back. I will never again have a 2 year period where I am by myself for very intense prayer. So yeah, it's one of those things. Like, that one was great for that season, and then it was time to move on. And I actually had a conversation with the priest about that when I got married. I was feeling really down about myself. It's like, I used to pray, you know, at least 30 minutes, but most of the time like an hour a day, and now I'm not. And I'm like, well, he was like, well, you're working 10 hours a day, going to grad school, you're married, and you have a child for the first time. I don't expect much of you. And I was like, oh, good, thank you.
That's awesome. Taylor, it's a great conversation with you, talking with you about, you know, marriage and everything. Got to take that short break here for the radio. But when we come back, we're going to continue that conversation and talk with you a little bit about what you're doing and how people can get in touch with you and work with you in ministry as well. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection, telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org. Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back here to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I'm Bill Snyder, and today my guest is Taylor Scroll. He is a youth minister, blogger, radio host as well, and we are just having a great conversation about marriage. And in the first half of the discussion, we really talked about the practicalities of marriage and getting married and just all the stuff that you do as a guy to kind of get ready for it, and then the living together and having kids together and all that stuff. But there is a spiritual aspect of this too, right? And you stand up on your wedding day and you make a vow to another person to love them and to cherish them and to honor them all the days of their life. And that carries some serious weight with it because it's a vow, right? You just made this vow. And so there's got to be something spiritually uniting about this. And what happens spiritually to the couple in marriage, Taylor? Just talk to us a little bit about what's happening and going on spiritually throughout their lifetime.
Yeah, so it's this whole idea that God himself is a community of persons, right? So it's the Father, the Son, that love is so big that the Holy Spirit is literally the embodiment of that love. And it's, I'm sure people have heard this all the time, where it becomes this thing of we get to participate in that love of the Trinity, where it's like the husband and the wife get to love each other, and then the embodiment of that love end up becoming another person in a small child. Right. And that's what, like, we are mirroring the love of the Trinity. And like, marriage is actually one of those very special ways that we get to participate in that community of love. And so it really, really teaches us through the ups and downs of marriage and all of these things, how to truly love, which is the greatest commandment. And if marriage isn't a training field for that, I don't know what is.
Yeah. You mentioned love, the greatest commandment. And love isn't always easy, right? I mean, like, there's going to be, we talked about seasons of marriage, and, you know, I'm sure that, you know, in this early season in my marriage, I've been married for a month and a day. So, you know, I was really glad that I made it a whole month that I took my
Congratulations,
wife.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, man. I took my wife out to Chili's last night. That's what I did to celebrate.
Two for 20 menu?
Yeah, 2 for 25. Exactly.
That is how young marriages are. that's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we did that, and, you know, I had a little bottle of champagne at home. But the idea is that I know that there are going to be seasons where I really make her angry, and I know that she's going to make me really angry. There are going to be difficulties in marriage that come up, and, you know, when I look down at the ring that's on my finger, which I think is this beautiful symbol that she handed me on the wedding day, right? Like, and I look down at that, I go, okay, well, if there's going to be those seasons, like, and she's going to make me angry and I'm going to make her angry, it's still a complete circle. You know, I still have to honor and cherish her. And have you found that, you know, I mean, I don't want to go into marital strife here, but have you found that God provides in those difficulties for you in marriage?
Yeah, for me, like, one of the things that has been truly a blessing just from my perspective of being married is my wife being very holy in just in general, but specifically when I screw up, like when I make a mistake, my wife is actually very good at showing me the Father's mercy, like God's mercy, because I will make a mistake and she'll love me anyway. Like she will love me through that. And I hope it's vice versa. She's better at it than I am, but she makes me feel so loved even when I'm making mistakes. And she has this ability to, like, when we're in the seasons that we're talking about in the previous segment, where it's like, she has this ability to know I'm stressed out. There's a lot going on. I didn't mean what I said, and to forgive me. And then we're able to have that conversation. And I'm like, thank you for loving me, even though I was a schmuck.
Yeah, it's like that movie Dinner with Schmucks, right? You know, you still love them and care about them, even when you are a schmuck. And so, you know, when you go through these fights and you go through this life, it really is remembering that you are living for them too, and it that root of selfishness that can come out in all of our hearts all the time is something that, you know, in marriage, maybe we get reminded of it more than any other sacrament that or lifestyle. Even when we deal with selfishness in our lives or we see it, it's very easy for our spouse to just go, hey, wait a minute, you know, kind of back off here. You know, is this going to do the best thing for this union and for us? And I think that that has been the big eye opener for me just in the month that I've had. It's like, all right, well, you know what? I'm now making decisions not just for me. I'm making them for two of us. And, you know, whether it's the practicalities of opening the bank account or doing all these different things to merge lives together, you can't be selfish anymore. And so, you know, you have to look at it like we've got two people instead of one, and but that become one, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that sacramental part of it, it becomes one, you know, in the birth of a new baby, hopefully. So, you know, as you go through, what are the other challenges? Like, what is Satan doing to married couples here? I mean, I mentioned selfishness a little bit, but what are the other big challenges that you see Satan throwing the way of marriage or of married couples? Because clearly he doesn't like this sacrament either.
Right. Yeah, for sure. One of the biggest things is there's this book that my wife and I read that when we were engaged that just absolutely set a foundation for our marriage. And we have gone back to it multiple times in the 7 years we've been married. We've recommended it to tons of people who are getting married that are doing their preparation. It's this book called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. He's a Protestant guy, but the book is just absolutely phenomenal. And it talks about this thing called the crazy cycle, where essentially, if it doesn't matter who starts it, but essentially, let's say I do something that's unloving to my wife. It's this the idea of love and respect is a man's deepest desire is to feel respected and honored, and a wife's deepest desire is to feel loved. Like we see this in the scripture. Wives, respect your husbands, honor your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Like those are the specific reminders that we need as men and as women. So the natural indication, and we go through this all the time. Doesn't matter who starts it. Either I do something that's unloving, or she does something that I see as disrespectful or not honoring. And what's my immediate reaction? If I feel disrespected or dishonored, I'm going to be unloving. So then she feels unloved. What's her response? To produce something different. And we get into this thing just spiraling down. And I think recognizing those situations, because that's Satan, man. That is, he wants us to just spiral and spiral down. Somebody has to be the one to step up and to do the loving thing to either for me to answer disrespect or dishonor with love anyway, or for her to answer my unlove with respect and honor anyway. It is amazing how we've both done it for each other. Sometimes I'm the bigger person, sometimes she is. It's amazing how quickly that cycle just snaps and we're back to being great, you know.
That's, you know, and that's beautiful that when you kind of cut through it, right? When you cut through that stuff, the Holy Spirit enters real quickly. And he dispels the darkness, right? It's like lighting a candle. The minute you light that candle, the darkness is gone and you can see.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, and forgiveness and all of those other things come into play. And I remember, you know, if that's a challenge for you, out there listening to this, you know, to kind of have that moment. I remember, I think it was Dr. One of these big speakers who was on a Catholic radio station one time on marriage, and she said, just remember that the sacrament of marriage is a supernatural thing. You have supernatural power to be able to, yeah, exactly, make the fist. You have supernatural power to be able to call on the promise of God that witnessed your union and overcome that, to just dispel the darkness. And that's the biggest thing that we, I think, fight culturally, is that marriage, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot, right? I mean, that's the other big cultural myth, that marriage doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, it's, you know, the divorce rate is upwards of 50% now. I think it's even higher than that, probably more like 70. And you also have to fight against the cultural trends too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like marriage is perfectly set up by God to give us everything that most of us are called to, right? Like, most of us are called to marriage, not the priesthood, you know, or to religious life. Like, that is a very small subset of God's people. And here we are, like, what do we need as a society? And what is almost what marriage provides? We need stability. Marriage and a family and a home provide stability, and we see that stability ripped away whenever the marriage parts. We need the opportunity to truly love somebody in their flaws and their failings, like real love. Sometimes loving your enemies means loving the people in your home, you know, like at specific times. Not that they're enemies, but, like, you know, if your kid's being a doofus, like, something, he could be your enemy for a few minutes, and, like, loving your enemies right there, it provides for those opportunities. The marriage provides literally for the best way to keep our species going, to grow us. It's the best way to evangelize, the easiest way to make new Catholics, you know, like all of these things. And it stands, it used to stand as, like, the beacon and foundation of our society. And now it stands as a light. It's like real good, holy marriages that stick together are a light for what a lot of people either realize or don't realize that they actually really desire in their life.
Yeah, no, that's so beautiful. And it's such an amazing sacrament. Taylor, I want to ask you real quick. We've got 2 minutes left. So I want to make sure that I, you know, let people know about where they can find you and find all your ministry. I know you're a big speaker and you've got a radio show and all that good stuff as well. So tell us a little bit about that stuff.
Yeah, so fortecatholic.com, F-O-R-T-E, Catholic. Forte means loud, and that is kind of who I am. I'm a loud person wherever I go, and I'm trying to do that in as many places as I can. So on the podcast and radio show called Forte Catholic, and then, yeah, if, like, you're listening to this and you're involved in your parish, I would love to come speak or lead worship or do parish mission or speak to your youth group or speak about marriage to your men's or women's groups, like whatever it is, I'd love to just kind of share what the Lord has given me, share the gifts that I have to build up the kingdom. So fortecatholic.com.
Awesome. Taylor, thank you so much for being here, and we'll certainly have you back on again. So thanks so much for being here on Young Catholics Respond.
Well, thanks for having me, and this is great.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org Or, to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.